Let's go ahead and get started. There are basically two, actually, if folks, we could start with introductions. I know a lot of folks sort of know each other, but I think it would be good to go around. I'm Isaac.
Sonny Gibson.
Sheree Devine.
Tom Love.
Michael Zilikon.
Tyrone Greenhill.
Diana Armstrong.
Mark Espin.
So there's basically two things on my agenda, and I'm definitely open to any other agenda points that want to get added. But basically, the first is talking about potential sites or allies or folks that might be interested in participating in something like a free network, and maybe we should add, you know, sort of talking more about what exactly that is, if there's anything that folks that isn't clear. And that relates to the other agenda item, which is what I call a compact, which is I meant to print it, but there were no computers free when I got here, naturally. But basically, it's a document, it's like sort of a legal framework that would govern and say what it means to be part of this network. So I have a draft of that, and I thought maybe we could look at it together and get people's input on that and make it more clear, make it better, et cetera. So, I mean, as far as the agenda goes, is there anything folks want to add? Do folks feel like we should first talk about what are the basic sort of tenets of what we're talking about, or do folks feel clear on that?
I'm interested in your organization.
Okay.
A quick review is might be good.
Okay.
Yeah, because these two wasn't at the first meeting.
Sure.
So yeah, let's review this.
Perfect. Okay. So, just quickly, Tyrone and I are part of an organization called the Free Network Foundation, and we've been working for a couple years to build tools that will enable communities to own their own share of the internet. So to at least reduce their dependence on service providers and in so doing, basically get better rates for bandwidth. So we've been working with Michael's organization, and Michael's from an organization called Connecting for Good. And Michael, do you wanna maybe say a few words about
sure.
What you all
well,
do?
Well, I mean, first off, been a blessing working with you. I don't know if you've heard this last Friday, our organization brought a free Wi-Fi network to a public housing project.
Oh, okay.
Rosedale
well, yeah,
Ridge.
About this.
Yeah, Rosedale Ridge.
Oh, that's my neighborhood. I live in Rosedale, but not in
Manhattan.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I'm on State Line Road.
Oh, shoot.
Eaton. Yeah, we're at the same street that the Google Fiber office is on.
Yeah.
Yes. I'm on, yeah.
All
so
right.
I live in Rosedale. I'm a block from KU Med. So, yeah, that's.
Okay.
I cool. Certainly lived out over at Booth Street for many years.
Okay.
But our actually Connecting for Good is incorporated in 1009 Locust, which is also a Rosedale neighborhood. And so, it was through that basically dialoguing with the Rosedale Development Association that we learned about Rosedale Ridge, which has got about 200 families, average income about $10,000 per family.
Oh, wow.
50% yeah. Of the nearly 400 people that live there are kids under 12.
Mm. Wow.
So working with the Free Network Foundation, we created the connection that Isaac talks about, which is we're buying bandwidth wholesale from Joe's data center, shooting it 4 miles to Rosedale, and then distributing the network across all the apartments and not charging anything.
Wow.
We've got other funding to pay for the bandwidth, which is actually very reasonable. We're also engaged with conducting used computers and refurbishing them, and also Isaac's helped us a lot with, you know, the flavor of Linux and our desire to go that way. And so we have now, you know, a couple hundred laptops that are available for distribution. We're starting digital literacy classes next week. We have already 20 residents.
Which
digital literacy.
Wow. well, I need to be signed up for that, because I'm serious.
Oh, yeah,
I need to learn more.
Yeah, well, I think.
I'm not that, I'm technically challenged, so.
Yeah, you should come by. Give me your phone number.
Okay, definitely.
Because part of the deal with this is, with going through the class, we're offering people a computer for $50.
Oh, okay.
So we're trying to make, you know, there are three elements to the digital divide, right? It's being connected, it's having the right equipment, and it's finally knowing what to do online. So we're trying to do a very focused life skills approach to digital literacy, you know. In other words, what can I do? For instance, my favorite illustration is, you can buy diapers cheaper on Amazon.com than you can at the corner market. Well, if I'm a single mom with four children and $10,000 income, you know, diapers are a major part of my budget, but if I can get them shipped directly to it, I don't have to walk a mile down the hill to the store and pay twice as much as I would otherwise. So there's a whole lot of things working with Isaac and the Food Network Foundation that has opened up a whole door to us. And of course, the whole goal is that this one project in Rosedale Ridge would be spread to other public housing units in the city. See, I mean, there's a lot of talk about Google Fiber, but the chances are 90% of who's going to get it is who's already got it.
Right.
So there's a whole bunch of fringe areas, especially in places like public housing, where that's not going to go there. But yet, so they're pretty much, you know, they're always putting up the glass phenomenon, right? You're looking in, and that was exactly what we experienced when we had our little meeting with the residents on Friday.
Mm-hmm.
The guy says to me, you know, I see .com this on TV and .com that and .com that.
Mm-hmm.
And I just think, there's a whole world out there I can't get to because I don't have a computer or the internet. But that's what we're about. And we're actually going to be moving close to state lines too. We're just to sign a lease to open up a headquarters at 1622 Westport Road.
Oh, okay, yeah, see, that's my neighborhood.
Yep, so you can come by and...
Yeah, see, y'all are over there where I'm at, so I need to get in on this deal.
Mm-hmm.
Look at me talking about that.
1622 Westport, what's in there now?
It used to be a firm that managed traveling a museum and business. So, but the beautiful thing about it is...
Yeah, it's across from the taco place.
Right across from Booty, yeah.
Yeah.
So the nice part of it, though, is they used to take all these priceless artworks and create them up and stuff at a technical workshop or whatever, just for mission pieces.
So Rosedale, in my mind, is a demonstration of what can be done when a group wants to bring connectivity somewhere. And in this case, it's connecting for good, bringing it to this housing project. But it could also, for instance, be...
A lot of medical students live in Rosedale because KU is right there.
So it could also be, you know, a restaurant or a coffee shop or any kind of small business wanting to bring connectivity to their neighborhood. They could do something like this. Or, you know, there's a thousand different variations of what it could look like to sort of be your own internet service provider.
I mentioned too that the Mennonite Church down the hill across from the RDA is talking to us about extending the network down that way. So it could be that they'll be doing their own thing in Rosedale. Because, you know, that entire community of Rosedale covers, what, 4 square miles? There's not a single internet hotspot anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
So what about your funding then to provide this service?
We're a nonprofit.
Well, that doesn't say anything about your funding. That just says how you have to report your funding.
Yeah. Well, we have, we're looking at grant funding. We've already received some grant funding.
So you'll be paying for this with grant funding?
Yeah. And we're doing some things like computer refurbishing, which we anticipate also
So that's why I sort of point out that this is one example of one way to fund it. But and maybe I wish I had been able to print this out. I don't know, Tyrone, maybe you could pull it up as well, and I don't know if other folks have devices. It's online, this document that I wanted to maybe look at with all of you. But basically,
one of the things that our initial plan was to wire up as much of Rosedale as possible. And of course, we thought Google Fiber would be the person. But I think we've gotten more famous for Google saying no to us about 3 times than we ever did, than they ever given us anything. So we, again, said, well, we're not waiting for, you know, corporate giant of Silicon Valley to say it's okay to help poor people in Kansas City, so.
Yeah, that Mennonite church, that's where my voting place is. Mm-hmm. That, well, they changed it from where it was to that church, so I got the right to drive past, yeah, the underpass.
So what's the cost for the residents? Is there
nothing,
a charge?
Nothing
at this point.
And
is this a,
part
is this
of our issues we'd like?
I mean, how does it actually work? You beam it over, and then there's a cable that takes it to the individual residence?
No, it's
all wireless.
It's all wireless.
It's all wireless? That's what I was hoping.
Yeah, that makes more sense. You know, and here's what's really interesting. Half the people who are using it on smartphones right now. Because, you know, if you're, say you're a mom on limited income, right? You probably have a phone with limited minutes. But if you're using Wi-Fi, you can talk.
Oh, so this is a big hotspot around that. Is that what it is?
Basically. So it comes in, the wireless that brings it in, that's not like a hotspot. That's almost like as if you pulled a wire through the air. Except
Gotcha.
No. But then from there, it's connected by a wire to basically a hotspot that puts it out into the...
Is there like how many different spots in that?
There's actually four different devices in the project that
and
distribute it.
What's the range of each device?
Maybe 150 feet. So each device is covering one building with probably 30 housing units in it, something like that.
So how big is the whole complex?
The whole complex is, I think, 250 housing units, but some of them are empty.
Close to that.
And did, like, what are these devices? So which, I mean, are they expensive that you put in? Or
well,
what they cost?
They were donated by a group of women.
So, but again, I want to focus not on the specifics of this one deployment, because like I said, that's an example, and the way it was funded probably wouldn't be the way that most parts of the network would be funded.
And that's what I was getting at originally, that is that our original plan was to say, let's do a neighborhood plan, where everybody pays a little into it, and everybody gets it, and that's how we underwrite the process.
Mm-hmm.
But then we sort of got down the track of basically one of the people who can't pay anything.
Mm-hmm.
But in the same way, you know, it's possible to use the same model to create a pay-as-you-go, where everybody gets more bandwidth for more money and use the network. I oftentimes think of it as like my sewer district where I lived out in Deer Parkville. You know, we had a community sewer district.
Yeah.
And we all, you know, put the money into it, and we all took turns serving on the board, and we all took turns cleaning out this store.
That was the leadership people got to clean out the store.
Yeah,
that's how.
Well, exactly. It's like that, or an electric co-op, or any kind of model of co-op. That's basically all. I mean, what it boils down to is just it's an internet co-op, you know.
Yeah.
So, I kind of want to challenge the group to think of organizations, individuals, businesses that might want to go down this path. And I mean, I asked Michael to come today because I kind of want to pose the idea to him that the infrastructure that's already been built to serve Rosedale could grow to serve more. And Michael, I got the impression from you that you're open to that, but
totally.
So I mean, maybe we could look at now the compact, which is a first draft, a rough draft, and it's adapted from other people that have done this in other places, but it's sort of what I consider our first draft of what the agreement would look like between people cooperating on this. So I don't know. Well, shoot. Maybe it would be worth it to try to get some copies printed out, or I mean, we could also just look at share.
What's the website?
It's so this is on the FNF's website.
Oh, okay. It's on you guys. Okay.
Yeah.
It's about to get. I mean, it's.
I
like,
could run it
by
somebody where I live. We can pull it out. Probably make some copies.
That'd be great. I mean, that'd be great. I think we're supposed to be able to print from there, but I'm not sure what the weight is for a computer.
Email it to me.
Okay, that'd be great. I'm not sure I can send mail from here because
Can the tower that or whatever sending it currently can that be
cool? Is it on your website?
Yeah.
What's the link?
It's
not the best.
From WebMail.
Oh yeah, you want to do that?
Just Michael that connected.
Okay, great.
So you've got this situation where you've got something beaming the information, and then can that same scenario hit other spots in that same zip on a tower or something? And
yeah,
can it spread its angle? I mean, what
uh-huh.
how many
so,
people can it serve?
So
potentially,
there's kind of this situation where we've got the site downtown, that's high up, and then out here 4 miles away we've got Rosedale. So right now we've got this
meeting after that.
This wireless link. And this
right.
beam is, it's 7 degrees wide. So
oh.
as it gets farther out, it gets bigger. So anything in this beam could participate in this same one. But what really, the better way to do it is you just add another beam. So say there was a site here that wanted to get, so this would be about Union Hill area. Right.
Mm-hmm.
So say there was somebody on Union Hill area that wanted to get involved. Then what you would ideally want to do is add a beam here that connects out this way, and add a beam here that connects out this way. So then you've got this, because a triangle is a much stronger shape, you know? So this way, everything's connected back and forth a bunch of ways, so, you know, because if you... Let's say you just had this one, then if this one went down, this one would go down too, but if you got it connected all ways, then there's more redundancy in it. So basically, you could have something participate in this and just go back to this one, but it'd be better to add radios and start to form this kind of, you know, pattern where you've got basically a horizontal organization, and then it can grow out like that, in a pretty robust way. So that
and the cost of one of those units that sends out the 7 degree angle beam.
Each end of it is about $200. So for both sides, you're looking at $400. So for instance, to add this though, you would need two and two, but what you might do is that, you know, the cost would be shared by a bunch of people, so you're not actually looking at that big of an investment if you can get enough people to buy into it, and that's the key, really.
I see.
So what does it cost you to send a signal to over to Turtle Hill?
That's kind of the cool thing is like, well, we have to have it connected to the internet, we have to buy bandwidth still, obviously. The thing about this facility is that bandwidth there is way, way, way cheaper than you can buy
right.
anywhere
but
else in the city.
The question is, what does it cost you to put this guy online?
So right now, Connecting for Good is paying $125 a month for enough bandwidth to serve that entire housing project. So compare that to what Time Warner wanted was, I think, $350 or $400. And the more people start participating, the cheaper it gets for everybody. So that's the sort of minimum savings you're gonna have, but you only start saving more from there. Does that answer your question?
So you're saying the $125 is shared. He's saying the $125 is shared, split between everybody.
And that pays
so
for the two radios that you need.
So, well, the two radios are a fixed cost. The two radios are $400. You put them up, they're done. Then there's a monthly.
So he put up $400 for the two radios. Then he puts up $125 a month.
Right.
To run the deal for the first year, $125 every month. Right. $1,240.
Right, versus paying to do the same thing with a regular internet provider, you'd be paying around $400 a month. So you've recouped your investment in that hardware, you've recouped that in a few months, and then from there out, you're saving money. And I mean, the economics of it are one aspect, and I think for most people it's the most compelling aspect, but there are also, I mean, there are other sort of technological reasons why it's better, because it lets folks share. So for instance, people connected here can share directly with one another without having to go through, you know, if
right, it's like having a home network.
Right, exactly. We're
hotspot, just working out of a hotspot, is that?
Yeah.
Now, how do you keep all these other people from just linking on that are in the 7%?
7-degree angle.
Well, so this link is it's controlled, it's locked down with encryption, and it's not until it gets here and gets redistributed that it's open. So, you know, theoretically you could leave that open and somebody could connect to it, but right now it's encrypted, and that that prevents people from getting access to it.
So my next question would be, you got somebody that's got their line in the water, fishing,
mm-hmm.
and as you just said, if it wasn't encrypted, you could have people all along the line who were able to hook in.
Mm-hmm.
So why wouldn't that be the way to sell people over a 4-mile area?
Well,
if they could see what it was like and how easy it was, and the low amount of cost. It seems to me that when you have the first corridor, it's just like building an interstate from here to here. Now you've got on-ramps for all these people to get
mm-hmm.
on. That's the area that you want to do your advertisement. That's where you want to put your billboards.
So I think...
No?
Well, I think that could be a good strategy. There are obviously benefits to that, in that, you know, there's sort of less overhead to getting involved.
You're primarily focusing on low income people at this point. Is that the idea?
No, I think that's Michael's focus, and I think that's one component of it. Definitely, is that this would enable a lot more people to get online. But I don't see any reason why it should be more appealing to low income people than to folks that just want broadband. They want affordable internet. You know, everybody likes.
I'm not familiar with the housing project that he's talking about, but I want to be in it on this if it's a lot cheaper than the Google Fiber, because that's, what, $300?
Yeah.
I mean.
Forever, for free.
Well, not forever.
Yeah, right.
For 7 years, and it's not,
and
that's
raise.
Not as fast as what we're talking about. So
it's not as fast?
Well, the what you would get for $300 from Google is not as fast as what you would get with this. So right.
Oh, really?
Yeah, right now we're pushing at least 40 megabits in versus 5 with Google for the $300. I mean, obviously, if you are willing to pay $70 a month for just your household, it's faster. But at the price point, it's not. So.
So what have you identified other areas that you're wanting to go into?
Well, so that's actually one of the things I wanted to talk to you all about. I mean, the answer is yes. There's some ideas of places that would be good, but I'm sort of wondering more if you have thoughts about either.
I want all the kids to have it in Kansas City, Missouri School District with their own little, you know, iPad-like, you know, pads,
mm-hmm.
for books, and, you know, do homework and all that kind of stuff. I read there's a guy that's selling those for $40 and from India.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah.
So it's something that I think could be an example to Kansas City, Missouri. You know, it could go out to Kansas City, Missouri School District and then go around the country. And so, you know, bring up our education
yeah.
system.
Yeah.
So that's what I think that would be really important. I've heard about, I was talking to some guys from AT&T, and they were talking about setting up your little hotspots in the school, and you might need 3 units to cover 100 and some feet, like you're saying. And they said you could pick them up for like $50 at some, not through AT&T, but
yeah.
But at, I forgot which store it was, at Best Buy or somebody, but it sounds like that's kind of what you're doing here while you're adding that $200 tower or whatever, or to connect them.
Yeah, instead of
mm-hmm.
getting on the wires, yeah.
But I'd love to see that happen for the school district and make this an example that could go around the country. Because it's,
be
there's an internet divide.
Definitely there is.
And there's a lack of not knowing how to read. And, I mean, people can't afford books, and now we've got tablets. These kids could have all the books that put written at their level with a touch of a button.
Isn't there a town in South Carolina or North Carolina that has had wireless forever for the whole town?
There are a few cities in the country that have municipal wireless. There's also Chattanooga has municipal fiber, and I think there's a wireless component with that. One thing that there have been a lot of folks over the last 10 years or so that have tried to get city governments to do networks, and the telcos have fought them really, really hard because obviously that would cut into their bottom line. Our focus is really on trying to get communities to do it for themselves rather than trying to get the government to do it and go that way, because the government is very, it seems like it's an easy sort of pressure point for companies to corrupt the government. That's sort of, I think any, we're at the point where any takers are welcome, basically. So if there was a school that was interested, we would never turn them away. And actually, that's part of the compact that I was thinking about is basically it says that there's no restriction on how it gets financed, how it gets owned, how it gets funded, who owns it. The only restriction is that everybody's got to work together, basically. I think that'd be great. But I'm wondering, like, if there are small businesses or that's really what I see as the focus is trying to get sort of businesses to do something for their neighborhood, and in return,
mm-hmm. housing complexes.
Housing complexes, exactly. Stuff
it's
like
ideal
that.
For that.
Stuff like that.
There's not something, I mean, these guys didn't know of a device that could be a hotspot that would go further than like 150 feet or whatever. Is there a way of setting something up that could broadcast further than 150 feet for
mm-hmm.
those little hotspot areas?
Well, I mean, you can buy more powerful equipment, but you get better bang for your buck if you just buy repeaters and put them in. So that's really the way to go, probably. I mean, with the current state of technology. I know that there are a few organizations that are interested in getting involved that I was hoping would be here today. For instance, the IWW, the labor union, they want to build one at their building, stuff like that. So it's that's actually
their building is where?
It's at 31st and Truce. Which is a great spot because it's really high up, and it's got visibility. So
we're at 31st and Truce.
It's on the southeast corner, not the building that's actually on the corner, but it's a building that goes around the building on the corner. It's a building that they share and work on with other groups.
Reconciliation Mission?
So it's not actually that building. That's the building on the corner, but then there's a building that kind of wraps around that building. It used to be a mall of some kind.
IWW, what's it stand for?
Industrial Workers of the World. So...
Who are they unionized with?
He don't know about Mark.
They actually are open to any workers. So it's not just one particular industry. They're across
industries.
Of the world.
Why do you think they were interested?
I think that the principle of the thing appeals to them, sort of cooperation and you know, solidarity and being able to advance the cause of all by cooperating. That's sort of my impression.
Can you get 300 feet if you have two of those repeaters? You know, like one here and one over here, and this one carries it 150 feet, and this one carries it.
Well, you would do sort of one here, instead of doing one here and one here, you'd do one here and one here, because this one would get to here, and then this one would get to here. But yeah, you could cover.
You'd go 150 feet from this one spot, and then could you go another 150 feet, and they could all interact?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So, okay. But you couldn't go 300 feet between them.
Well, you can go 300 feet between. It depends, you know, those numbers are not fixed. It depends a lot on
line of sight.
If it's in the open, it'll go for much longer than that, actually. Oh, thanks,
Michael.
Okay. Okay. Thank you. So this is great. Let's look. If you wouldn't mind, I would love to just sort of look at, this might give folks a better sense of what it would mean to participate in the network. It's front and back. And thanks, Michael.
You're welcome.
And I would love to get people's feedback on this. It starts, yeah, so. Folks want to just take a few minutes to read this, and then we'll maybe go until 4. That sounds all right.
Yeah, we have to stay until 5 if everyone wants to sit there.
Okay. Since last week.
Oh, okay. So are the residents, are they satisfied with the service, or
well, so
got good feedback from the management office? Or?
Folks seem pretty excited. We went Friday morning and sort of talked to folks as they were waiting for the bus, and they seemed really excited about it. I think right now a lot of folks don't have what they need to actually get on the network.
Okay.
The survey found that 80% of the people didn't have it in-home internet, and basically, so most because they don't have it,
right.
And you can't afford it.
I
there's stuff that jumps out at you or doesn't make sense, just, you know, this is pretty raw, and I'm sure there's a lot of it that could use.
So these are the rules of FNF, or what you guys' statement, mission statement is on what?
Sort of, this is, this.
This is what participants agreed to when they signed up.
Right, this is what everybody would, it's like if you had, it's basically what each site would say, like, yeah, we agree to this, and it's a way to make sure that everybody participating in the thing is on the same terms.
Terms of service.
I got you.
Yeah, it's like a terms of service. Instead of a terms of service, it's like a terms of participation, you know? It's like,
So is it
like a Time Warner or Google or most other ISPs, it's like around 10 pages long.
Right.
Yeah,
that's true.
And it, yeah.
So is the launch, you said there was going to be a launch, so was the Rosedale complex, that was part of the small launch that you were talking about at the last meeting?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, so it was a chance to just get something working, get it out there, and be able to sort of show people what it looks like in the wild, so to speak.
Okay.
And then, of course, it's kind of innocent because the man in that shirt sort of said, well, let's not sign on until we wait and see if they can pull us off, more or less.
Yeah.
But they would like to be the first hotspot in Rosedale to put the park that's next to their church online. It could be amazing because 6,000 laptops go home and KCK kids open every night.
What'd you say?
6,000.
Yeah, in KCK school district, every kid gets a laptop.
Right.
For the school year.
And less than a third of them are going home with it.
Right.
So they're sitting outside of McDonald's or at the library in their car and doing their homework.
How about the school itself? The schools, are they hot spots? The schools, basically?
Yeah.
I think they do have.
The schools have it.
But I think our philosophy meshes very much with Isaac's philosophy, that is, you know, rather than having to go somewhere, you can have it at home. Makes it 100 times more useful.
Well, Mr. Gibson, do you have any questions or comments to bring up? This is well, when I was up there talking, I was over your head too.
Oh no.
Back in August. Yeah, that was over your head. No, it was over all of them's head. They couldn't handle the truth. I can only give them the truth in small dosages of eggs. They can't handle it. They can't handle that much truth. So that's why the real mother love had to start showing up. His mama.
She killed it.
She's a loon.
Oh man, she's good.
I leaned over and
she's
said
got,
to
she's
him
she's got
and
plumage
David,
like a woman.
Did you see her feathers?
I said, yeah.
Did you see her feathers?
I saw her and she needs to be plucked.
You know,
that's crazy.
I went with her to the Kansas City Star one time. I went with Mother Love to the Kansas City Star one time for a editorial board review of a political thing that was going on. And when we got in there, I asked my usual nasty questions, two or three of them, and I said, well, now, I don't want to introduce you to Mother Love. She's in charge of the meeting. Sat back, and I'm telling you, she hammered every one of them guys into the wall like there was nothing there. And when we left, they did not give us any crap anymore.
Oh, about what?
I'm serious, man. She just did them. It was unbelievable. Pow! Okay, right here.
Yes.
Anytime, any member can revoke this adoption and therefore reclaim their own network devices or equipment. So what you're saying is that these radios are sold to private persons.
I'm going to meet Mother No.
So
is that what you're saying? That's what that says.
But I didn't want to miss
it. It's not actually, we, they're bought by private persons, but we don't, like, it's not, the network wouldn't sell the equipment to the participants.
What's this member?
I got a
Yeah, no worries. Thanks so much for coming.
Any member can revoke this adoption and therefore reclaim their own network devices or equipment.
Right.
What kind, who's the member? Who are you referring to as
so
the member?
So for instance, right now, Connecting for Good has this dish on the roof at Rosedale Ridge. So they could say, this assumes, if you read through the whole thing, it assumes that any piece of equipment is offered for use by anybody that's participating in the whole thing. So what that part is saying in particular is that any time that an organization that's participating decides they don't want to participate anymore, they can take their equipment and walk away. And that means that the rest of the network would need to come up with a way to either rebuild that portion or reroute or change things around so that everything still works. But what it means is that just because you decide to participate for some time, that doesn't mean that anybody else can hold you to any commitment to do it. Everybody's free to
right.
come and go as they please.
And so the dish that you're talking about is the radio that he paid $200 for.
Yeah.
And so if he decides that he doesn't like your service anymore, this line says that he can remove that radio. Now that's going to kick down part of your network going across on the other side, right?
Right.
So that means then that you're going to have to come up with somebody else or another place or something else in order to keep that section still going with that cross that you said is redundant.
So
that works well.
The
is that am I correct? What am I assuming incorrectly in that?
So the only incorrect assumption is that we would be the ones that have that responsibility, because the one of the basic premises is that it's a best effort of everybody cooperating. So there's no one central entity that's responsible for building and operating the thing. It's everybody together cooperating. So what that means is that if one group decides to leave and take their equipment, and that means that another group now is without service, it's that group that's without service that needs to figure out a way to get service. This is an effort to help people cooperate and coordinate so that they can do for themselves, but not so that they can just pay somebody for service.
So you're saying that if this guy goes home,
mm-hmm.
he could still receive through this.
That's right.
But if you were out one more,
right, then
this gentleman here is going to have to find a way to link back
maybe
to where he can acquire your signal.
Exactly.
Okay.
All right. I mean, the whole goal is that there is enough going on that losing one piece of it is not going to have a tremendous impact.
Yeah, folks exactly. can just turn their dish a different direction and say, oh, I have another neighbor that I can work with. So.
Okay. My critical point is that I don't have anybody that I can sell anything to, and I'm not really interested in going door to door in my neighborhood and trying to hustle people that do or do not have internet service, because I don't participate with people too well very often, as my questions might show. Okay, so but anyhow, but I would like to see the service extended to people who, because I've been a person at one time who couldn't get what he wanted, okay, because it was not economically within the feasibility of the sum of money in my pocket at the time. So I would like to see a way of extending this to a group of people who would not have the capability. But I don't have the time, money, or interest to go look for those people.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I might have the time, money, and interest to say I would look for some funding to provide another radio spot going in a different direction than that 4 mile one was going.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, but I'm not interested, and I know I cannot go out and find individuals who want to use it.
Mm-hmm.
So that's my problem.
Mm-hmm.
But I would be willing to help look for funds to put in some
mm-hmm.
radio locations.
Great. I think the hope in a situation like that is that if we can get the thing built, if we can get the money and get it up, and just start offering service out. And one of the nice things is that you can put up a page so that when somebody logs in, they see a page that tells them.
Okay, but he's talking about people who are 80% no pages, no login. That's what he's talking about, is the people he's taking the service to. They don't log in because they ain't got nothing at home, okay, to log in with.
So that's one particular situation, but that's a situation.
Yeah, but the point is, his situation is a best setup for what you're trying to do, because he's got a group of people that he knows don't have what you're providing, and he knows of a way to say, okay, I can help to provide this, so all I've got to do is talk to you, and it's a done deal. But then my situation is, here you are, here's my house, and there ain't no reason for me to put a radio there for my house, and I'd have no possibility of finding people around me that could use that same service. You understand what I'm saying?
What I'm saying is that I think there is a possibility for you to find those people. So I think there is a reason for you to want to get the service, because for one thing, even on a personal basis, I mean, I don't know, what's your internet? Do you have
Yeah, I have kcnet.com. And they were bought out by some guy in New Jersey. I pay $200 a year for internet service. I never have been interrupted, no problems. It's on DSL.
Mm-hmm.
That's expensive for me. It's hard for me to pay. Okay. But that $200 is going into some corporate guy's pocket in New Jersey.
Mm-hmm.
In my opinion, it would be nice if it was going into somebody's pocket in Kansas City.
Sure.
And if that would allow someone else to have internet service, great. So that's as far as I can go with what I know how to do. I know how to write a $200 check, and I know that then I can be on, and you know, I'm happy with finding all the .coms.
Yeah.
But that's as far as I can go.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting, you said that $200, that's what you said the receiver cost, right?
Right,
yeah, right.
So for $200 one time?
Well, I think I paid $211, to be exact, or something like that.
Yeah.
You said the bandwidth in Japan was 27 cents
per
megabyte?
That's right. I think that's right.
And here it's $3.60 some cents? What do they do in Japan? Are they doing the same thing in Japan with the towers and so forth?
No, they just have more. They have more infrastructure that's been built by the government, whereas here everything is done by private, you know, business interests.
Also, they have a really high population density, which I would imagine is some factor in that too.
So they're running everything through cables, are you?
Yeah, through fiber optics mostly.
As opposed to the radios.
I mean, I'm sure they have a lot of
everything, wireless
too, but I think those numbers are so low because they have a very high density of fiber optic.
What would the cost be for this to buy the bandwidth? What's the megabyte cost?
Let's see, right now we're doing... That's the battery alarm.